Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. ART has been recording some lost shows from The Adventures of Sam Spade, starring our own Ivan Curry as Sam. Here's the Cartwright clip caper.
American Radio Theater presents a recreation of The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, the Cartwright Clip Caper. The Adventures of Sam Spade, Detective, brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic, the non-alcoholic hair tonic that contains lanolin. Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Me, sweetheart.
Sam, I must say, you certainly made a liar out of me.
UF. Impossible.
I have your note right in front of me. Have gone Grunion hunting. And here it is in all the papers. Death of candidate confuses tri-state water picture. San Francisco private detective in extradition case. Whatever that is. And what are you doing in out-of-state politics anyway? There's more than enough right here in San Francisco. They're talking about polishing the cable cars. What have you done about that? And another thing.
F, simmer down. There's nothing to get hyperthyroid about. I'm through with politics. Through. Do you hear me? Through.
Well, don't fly off the handle.
And besides, it had nothing to do with politics. It was a clip of another category. In fact, several others. I was clipped for my fee, clipped behind the ear, clipped by a woman's perfidy, and clipped by her clip. In short and in clipped, concise English, I will be right down to dictate my report on the Cartwright clip caper.
American Radio Theater is proud to bring you another episode of The Adventures of Sam Spade. Sit back and join the suspense of the Cartwright Clip Caper.
Get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie.
Are you an AM Romeo? Does your hair stay in place just right up until about noontime and then start to get all messed up? If so, then you'd better change your hair tonic, mister. Change to Wild Root Cream Oil and keep that hair of yours neat and well-groomed all day. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms your hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, removes loose dandruff. So tonight, or first thing tomorrow since the stores are closed, ask at your drug or toilet goods counter for the 25-cent Get Acquainted bottle of Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too.
And now, with Ivan Curry starring as Sam Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in The Adventures of Sam Spade.
Regards the Grunion, I naturally thought it was just another case of snipe hunting.
And you were right. Come on in.
But why Grunion, Sam? Now, if I stop...
Don't ever do that, F. Don't ever think. I like you just as you are.
Thank you, Sam.
Date, fill it in. To Mrs. Aaron Cartwright from Samuel Spade, license number 157596. Subject, you. It was your voice that got to me first. It must have, or I wouldn't have taken you up on that screwy proposition of yours when you called me last night and said...
I can't go into it over the phone. I don't know who may be listening. I can only tell you it is a matter of life and death.
Yeah, it always is. Suppose we start with who's talking to who.
I'm talking to you.
Ah, but do you have a name?
Please, Mr. Spade, don't laugh at me. This is really very serious. There are reasons why I can't say my name over the phone. Won't you take a chance this one time? Can't you tell by my voice that it isn't a joke?
No.
No?
No. So where can we meet?
I'm calling place called the Grunion. It's on Highway 117, just beyond Sacramento.
Sacramento? How will I know you?
I'll be parked on the side of the highway opposite the Grunion in a chartreuse Nash with beige fenders.
Ah, well, I may have a little trouble spotting that. You watch out for me. I'll be wearing a little gray Ford. And that, Nada, is how I happened to be steaming along at a fast 45 on the road to Sacramento when I should have stayed in bed. I divided my attention between the road ahead and the speedometer at the corner of my eye, clicking off those you drive it miles at 12 cents per, see expense account attached. I hope that you had a heater in your small chartreuse Nash with the beige fenders, because it was cold and past midnight when I glimpsed the neon Grunion above the Grunion Bar and Grill. Hey, wake up.
Oh, darling. Not now. Oh,
okay, finish your nap. I'll be across the street at the bar.
Who? Oh, wait. Wait, who? Oh, please come back. I can't go in there. I might be recognized.
Okay, but I'd like to have a look at you myself.
Please put out that light.
Okay, I've seen enough for now.
Thank you. We can talk in my car.
Of course, I understand you want to be inconspicuous. Now then, let's fill in a few blanks. Your name?
Nada.
That means nothing.
Oh, but it really is.
I meant in Spanish.
But it does mean something to you. You know who I am.
Yeah, you moved into a governor's mansion a few years back.
Oh, that. Well, of course, it was all in the papers.
You took a lot of unnecessary precautions, Mrs. Cartwright.
My husband?
Yeah, he's a very prominent man.
Exactly. And politics. Well, you know politics.
What's really on your mind?
Telephone calls. My husband and I have been bothered for some time by these anonymous calls. I want you to find out
who... Does your husband know you called in a private detective? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. He doesn't.
If you could just trace one of these calls, we've never been able to...
You're not giving me the full treatment, Mrs. Cartwright.
Please, Sam. Nada.
Who's blackmailing you? No answer. Does your husband know? You're afraid if I nail your blackmailer, I'll try to take over the act. Is that it?
Yes.
Well, you're wrong. I want $500 now and $500 when I finish the job. That's my fee, and we break clean.
I don't have that much. I know it sounds strange, but truly, I haven't.
Well, then we better call it quits. You see, Mrs. Cartwright, me and the Bureau of Internal Revenue and Robin Hood have the same idea. Soak the rich and sock the poor, but lightly.
Oh, Sam, please don't go. If you'd only let me finish. I haven't any cash with me, but I was going to offer you this diamond clip just to show my good faith. Oh, it's stuck. Will you help me?
How could I say no? They say the diamond is a cold stone, but you've been keeping this one warm. In the dark, I couldn't tell what it was worth, weighed about $60 worth of costume jewelry, and was in gold. About then, a car pulled up on the other side of the road and made a U-turn towards us. The headlights gave me my first good look at you, and from then on, I didn't care what the clip was worth. I didn't even care who was in that car, but from the look of terror on your face, you did.
Well, Nada.
Aaron. Now, Aaron. I can explain this. It isn't what you think it is. I'm trying to help you.
You can help me by getting out of that car and coming home with me.
But my car. I can't leave it here.
Decker will drive your car.
Dave's with you?
Dave, come here.
Oh, right with you, Governor.
What was that?
Just a word edgewise, sir.
Very funny. Come on, Nada. This time I really mean it.
Now, you don't need to tear my arm off.
You need any help, Governor?
Drive this man back to wherever he came from. I'm taking Mrs. Cartwright home with me.
What if I don't want to go back where I came from?
Listen to me, young man. A word to Wise. The Yellow Press of California may regard me as a political has-been, but I'm still a power in my home state. If you set your foot over that state line, you'll regret it.
Well, thanks for the threat. Good night, Governor Cartwright.
Sam, this isn't goodbye. I'll get in touch with you. No, no, no. Keep it.
Nada?
Yes, Aaron. I only wanted to get my cigarettes out of the glove compartment.
Thought it was you, Decker.
Sorry I had to queer your assignment, Sam.
Forget it. I ought to have my head examined for coming up here in the first place on nothing but a wild phone call.
She has a way with her. That's how she got to the governor, a phone call in the middle of the night. There was something in her voice that made him want to meet her.
Well, I know what you mean. How did she get to you?
Oh, she didn't. The governor did. You know how it is when December meets May.
Yeah, but why close the barn door?
Well, in politics, the same rules don't apply. Caesar's wife, you know.
Uh-huh. What's your connection?
Oh, look, Sam, I'm not asking you what yours is, but there's room for both of us.
That's not what's worrying me.
The governor's idle threat? Pay it no mind. He's an old windbag.
Yeah, but he could be tough. What scares me is something else. Come out across the road. I'll buy you a drink.
Sure. I'm thirsty.
The last time I'd seen Dave Decker was nearly 10 years ago. He and I had worked together for a short time in the old Continental Agency in San Francisco. He hadn't changed much in appearance. He was still the same tall, shambling tweed suit type. Gave the impression of being not too bright, but honest. 10 years is a long time, and being a private eye in a state where divorce and gambling are the chief industries, even a guy like Dave Decker should have learned something, but I doubt he had. Because I knew something very few people knew about him. His brother had been sent up on a murder rap, and Dave had spent the rest of his life trying to live it down. I didn't like him, but I trusted him. We put a dent in the bonded stock at the Grunion, chewed over old times, and by midnight, the caper didn't look as screwy as it was. I got rid of my rented car and let Decker drive me over the state line to the capital of an adjoining state, which for obvious reasons should be nameless. It's quite a town. Front street lit up like a tinseled Christmas tree, and the back street's dark and shoddy. It's a cheap town full of fast money, big gambling, quick little divorces. A carnival kind of town with a false front and a rear view that isn't nice. Decker dropped me at a hotel called the Montezuma, where I engaged a room with a rear view, took one look at it, and decided I'd better get out for a sandwich and a short beer. When I got back, I had a guest. Don't you people ever sleep in this town?
Why did you come here tonight? I told you I'd get in touch with you.
I don't get it. You call me on the phone, tell me it's a matter of life and death, use unfair methods to trick me out of my own territory, and when I get here, no money.
Is that all you came here for? Money?
Yeah.
I gave you the clip. Didn't that prove anything? You still have it, don't you?
Yeah, I got it, but why don't you sit down and make some sense? Tell me about these telephone calls. Is it a man or a woman?
It's always a different voice.
Well, what do they say?
I can't tell you that. I just want you to go home.
Are you firing me?
Oh, no, no, no. I told you I'd get in touch with you later. You'll get your money. In the meantime, you have that clip of mine for security.
I don't like it. I don't like playing pawnbroker for a piece of junk jewelry.
Oh, Sam, I love you.
Either it's a job or it isn't.
It could be pleasant work, Sam, if you wouldn't be so tense. Can't we relax and have a drink or something?
You can't get something for nothing.
Can't I?
Oh, unfair methods.
Oh, don't answer it.
But I got it yet.
No, no, don't.
Get away from me!
Don't! I know what it is.
Hello?
Sam? Dave Decker.
Yeah, Dave?
I'm up at the governor's house. The old man just got a call. After he got it, he got some dough out of the wall safe and ordered his car out for 3 in the a.m.
What do you want me to do?
This is the break I've been waiting for ever since I went on the job. But I can't do anything about it because the old man wants me to drive him.
Any idea where he's headed?
Vacant lot on the corner of 4th and Carson. Or doesn't that fit in with your plans for the evening?
Evening? What do you do here at midnight? Sunbathe? It's nearly 2 in the morning now.
Okay, do what you like about it, Sam. I thought we might help each other.
Maybe we can.
Well, by the way, Sam, that anonymous party that called the old man tonight,
yeah,
was a woman's voice.
Huh.
What are you going to do?
You said you wanted to find out who's making those anonymous phone calls to you and your husband, do you?
Of course I do. Don't you believe that?
I don't know what to believe.
Whatever Dave Decker told you to do, don't do it. It's a trap.
Yeah, probably. But the bait's so attractive. What can I do? Come here. Oh, I was kidding, of course, I thought. But somehow, shortly after we parted company, at around 3:05, I found myself mushing along Carson Street, trying to convince myself I believed your warning about Dave Decker being on the level and that it wasn't really too stupid of me to try to prove it by getting myself hit over the head. I took a plant across from the vacant lot that Decker had named as the governor's blackmail rendezvous. I didn't have to wait too long. He came along quickly, along the black pavement, making practically no noise. Man in a black overcoat. Leaned down, put a package on the ground amongst some rubbish, and walked away. I waited until he was out of sight, then crossed over to have a look at the little surprise package, and just as I was about to retrieve it, as I swooned among the tin cans, I asked myself, were you worth it? I didn't get any answer.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventures of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade.
Now, here's important news on grooming. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. Remember, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil contains lanolin. It grooms the hair naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose, ugly dandruff. So if you want your hair to be more attractive than ever before, get the generous new 25-cent size of Wild Root Cream Oil, America's leading hair tonic, on sale at all drug and toilet goods counters. It's also available in larger economy bottles and the handy new tube. By the way, smart gals use Wild Root Cream Oil too, and mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. Get Wild Root Cream Oil, again and again, the choice of men and women, and children too.
And now, back to the Cartwright Clip Caper, tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
When I woke up, I was lying behind some bushes, my face in the mud, and quite a pain in the back of my head. While I could focus my eyes, I saw that I was still in the vacant lot a few yards away from the rubbish heap where I'd fallen. It was nearly daylight. I tried to look at my watch to find out how long I'd been among the missing, but my watch was gone, and so was my wallet. The only thing my assailant had left on me was that junk jewelry-type clip of yours, Nada. Nothing daunted, I got to my feet, staggered off in search of 3 brass balls. I figured in a gambling town, there'd be an all-night pawnbroker, and there was.
But the setting, it is not anything. Gold filled, already peeling off.
Look, all I want is enough money to get some breakfast and wire home for some money to get out of here. Isn't it worth $5?
We split the difference. I give you 10.
I don't quite get that, but sure.
Well, I trust you. I think you don't leave town.
I wondered if that meant anything. Nothing in the caper had so far, so I decided it probably didn't. Till I got back to my hotel room and found it crawling with cops.
Hey, that's Sergeant, take a look at this.
Well, we've been waiting for you, Spade.
Quite a reception committee.
It's just your team.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Look at this joint. Frisked by a bunch of fumbling village constables.
Oh, yeah?
See? Even your dialogue's routine. You know, I don't care about you gutting all the furniture and tearing the papers off the wall, but ripping the chandelier out of the ceiling, that was kind of childish of you. However, you can settle all that with the hotel. Oh, and I'm glad you tore my suitcase to pieces, because now you'll have to buy me a new one. Now show me your warrant or get out of here.
Sergeant, show him the warrant.
Okay, I'm impressed. What were you looking for?
We found it. $30,000 in marked bills. How long have you been blackmailing Governor Cartwright, Spade?
Okay. Got me cold. Who double-crossed me?
You'll find out. And you can't hand anything on our witness, so stop trying.
Well, I admit you got quite a case. Mind if I call my lawyer?
You make it easy for us. We'll make it easy for you. Go ahead. Help yourself.
Okay, thanks.
Number, please.
Get me Larrabee 4, 6207.
One moment, please.
Please, my eardrums.
I beg your pardon, sir?
Governor Cartwright's residence.
Let me speak to the old man.
Are you referring to the governor, sir?
You know I am. Put him on. Tell him it's Sam Spade.
Who is it, Jennings?
Mr. Spade, sir.
I'll take it. That will be all, Jennings. Hello. I thought I told you not to cross that state line.
Yes, sir, you were so right, sir. I should have taken your advice, sir, because the most frightful thing has happened to me, sir.
Now look here, Spade.
I'll thank you to keep a civil tongue in your head. Thanks to you, I've been arrested on a blackmail charge. I need a lawyer. You're it.
Did you say blackmail?
Right. The arresting officers are here right now.
Let me talk to the officer in charge.
He wants to talk to you, Lieutenant.
Yeah, I'll talk to him, all right. Hello. Now look here, you cheap shyster. If you got anything to say, you can say it down at headquarters when we book this man.
What was that?
Oh, I beg your pardon, Governor Cartwright. Oh, I did not realize it was you, sir. I will, sir. I certainly will. I certainly will, Governor. You can count on the force. Goodbye, Governor.
I didn't mean anything by it, just routine, you know. Sorry if I upset you, Lieutenant.
Oh, that's all right, Spade. No hard feelings, huh? Shake.
Sure, why not? Hey, why the handcuffs? Didn't the governor tell you to lay off me?
Yeah, he said to lay off you. After we drive you to the California border and dump you where we dump all our trash. And stay out. Come on, boys. Let's get back to the
Okay, San Francisco, 488 miles. Must be a typographical error. Well, I still got the use of my thumb.
Going my way?
No, and I'm sorry I ever did.
Sam, wait a minute. You can't leave me now. Oh, my poor darling. Did they hurt you? I didn't dare follow the police car too close.
Go away.
I'm not pursuing you. I've just got some money for you.
Oh, there. I forgive you. How much have you got?
$1,000. I sold some stocks. I'm never going back there again. I'm going to San Francisco with you, darling.
What do you...
I have plans for us. Now, here, take this. If there's any trouble, shoot to kill. They'll stop at nothing.
Huh. Where'd you get this gun?
Does it matter? Is there anything wrong with it?
No, certainly not. It's mine.
I must have picked up the wrong one. I mean...
Where did you get this?
Well, from Dave Decker's room. I stole it.
Get into the car. I'll drive.
What are you doing? Why are you turning around?
I'm taking you home.
No. You mustn't do that. Don't you see? I don't dare go back there.
Stop that. Come on. You'll pull a car off the road.
I don't care if I do. I'd rather be dead.
Okay, start talking.
Listen, my darling, I haven't told you everything.
Department of Understatement.
Sam, I lied to you about that clip.
Yes, I know. I hocked it for $10.
It's really very... You what?
I was surprised I got that much for it.
Ten? $10?
Oh. Stop that.
Sam, we'd better drive back after all.
Why? The sudden change of heart.
Well, I thought you had the clip.
What's so special about the clip? The guy told me it's obviously a piece of junk, not even solid gold.
Well, yes, but the stone in it is a real one, and it weighs nearly 140 carats. It's worth a fortune.
Where did you get it?
I bought it.
Why?
I'd tell you, but I don't think you'd understand.
If it was with the blackmail money you've been shaken out of your husband, I don't think I would understand.
I've got to make you understand. I've got to.
I understand that you and Decker were working together, and you brought me into this to try to hang it on him. Or were the two of you going to get out from under by hanging it on me? Which was it?
You still don't know who I am?
Well, why tell me now when it's too late?
It may not be. It may not be. Listen to me.
A phone call in the middle of the night.
Did Dave tell you?
He told me that was how you got to the governor.
I was so sure that Joe, my husband, was innocent. I thought I could talk to the governor and I could perhaps convince him. He was very kind, but there was nothing he could do. Afterwards, he came around to comfort me, and that's how we got to know each other.
Joe Decker, Dave's brother.
Yes. Now, when Dave learned that I was going to marry the governor, he went crazy. He said that Aaron had sent an innocent man to his death so he could marry his wife. He swore he was going to kill him, and I knew he meant to. So I went to him and made him this proposition. I knew a man in the governor's position couldn't afford to have accusations like that made public, no matter how untrue they might be. I knew he would pay to keep them quiet. And I knew that as long as Dave could shake money out of the governor, he wouldn't hurt him.
But now the governor's drained dry, and there's no reason for Dave not to go ahead with his original plan. Is that the story you want me to believe?
I don't care whether you believe it or not. Aaron is dead.
How?
Shot. I found him in his study.
Two slugs fired not very long ago. Where'd you say you found this gun?
All right, I lied about that. The gun was just there, in the room with him. I knew I had to get away. I knew that Dave would come after me. All I thought was trying to find you, and we might need a gun. Sam, what are you doing?
Well, I almost forgot. This is yours.
What's this?
It's the pawn ticket. You can get your diamond out of hock, Nada, but not your conscience.
You can't leave me. I don't dare go back there alone.
But you will, won't you? I need to collect your blood money.
You coward. You're afraid. You're afraid to go back there with me.
You are so right.
You fool. You stupid fool. After all the risks I've taken for you, you're walking out on me.
You'll do all right, sweetheart. The governor's dead, he can't talk, he was killed with my gun. You don't need me.
So, you do think I did it? Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you. Dave Decker has been arrested for my husband's murder, and he's made a full confession. I'm sorry it took that to make you believe me. We could have had everything.
I'm not too sure of that. Nice floor show, Angel. Had a lot of laughs. The clip was too expensive. Period. End of report.
But Sam...
Butt me your butts, Effie.
Was she really innocent?
Well, that depends on what you meant by innocent.
I meant as regards to the untimely death of her husband.
What did you think I meant?
Oh, let's don't go into labor over the point, Sam. What I mean, isn't she guilty of blackmail, if not more so?
Make a note of this, sweetheart. If the blackmail laws applied to wives, we'd all be born in prison.
Sam, sometimes I think you're a misogynist. Or was that just an aphorism?
You're right on both counts, but what did you really mean to say?
Misogynist, Sam. That's a man who soured on women. And an aphorism... Oh, dear, I don't remember. Oh, I should have known better. It's tomorrow's word. My vocabulary building, you know.
Why, F? I like you just as you are.
Oh, now stop that. It was only because you were tired and nervous. I'll go type this up. But, Sam, haven't you forgotten something?
Certainly not, Effie. I've covered everything.
Oh, but, Sam, he hired you to find out who stole the gold bars out of the mill. You know, the ones that he was going to sell to the mint.
Oh, that. Ah, mere detail. Type it up, Effie, and I'll add a postscript.
Well, here it is, Sam. Oh, and by the way, an aphorism is a short, pithy maxim.
Aha! What is a maxim?
I precipitated that, Sam. A maxim is a general truth drawn from science or experience. So I guess it doesn't apply to you. Because where these invidious women are concerned, you never seem to learn.
Aha! But there's another definition. A maxim is also a single-barreled, quick-firing machine gun with a watered casing to keep the parts cool. Bet you didn't know that.
Don't boast, Sam. Remember that humility is the spice of life.
Oh, you're so right, F. But it's not the heat, it's the humility.
Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
This performance by American Radio Theater was produced by Joy Jackson and directed by Dave Leese. Ivan Curry played Sam Spade with Marge Lutton as Effie. Also in the cast were Esther Geddes McVeigh as Nada Cartwright, Dan Schindler as Dave Decker, Kim Turner as Governor Aaron Cartwright, Moki O'Reilly as Lieutenant Hanlon, Ken Leese as the pawnbroker, and Pat McNally as the butler. Live sound effects by Penny Schwamberg and Marilyn Wilt. Music by Kevin MacLeod. www.incompetent.com. Dashiell Hammett's The Adventures of Sam Spade, the Cartwright Clip Caper, was originally aired on CBS in April 21st, 1949, and was produced and directed by William Spear. It featured Howard Duff as Sam Spade and Lorene Tuttle as Effie. This is ART, the American Radio Theater. I am your announcer, Harry Thiel, reminding you to...
Get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. It'll keep your hair in trim. You see, it's non-alcoholic, Charlie. It's made with soothing lanolin. You'd better get Wild Root Cream Oil, Charlie. Start using it today. You see, you're gonna have a tough time, Charlie. Keeping all those gals away.
Hiya, Baldy.
Get Wild Root right away.
Now let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
One Night Stand presents that band of renown, Les Brown. From the police. Stadium in the heart of the film capital in Hollywood, California, we bring you the music of Les Brown and his orchestra. Our dancing party gets underway with Negra Constantina, my pet brunette. Friends, next on our music list, the vocal artistry of lovely Doris Day as she joins Les Brown and crew to bring us The More I See You.
Can you imagine how much I love you. The more I see you, as years go by, I know.
Friends, a musical story about a character from the land of fiction, sung for us by a character from the saxophone section. Butch Stone sings Robin Hood.
Robin Hood, he used to rob the rich, most every chance he could. Now you shouldn't get me wrong, because he was no square. With his trusty bow and arrow, he could part your hair. But he was Little John, another was Allendale. 140 more, together they hit the trail. They would scamper through the forest to the Blue Boar Inn. Mr. Eden told them where they should begin. He took from the rich man, gave it to the poor man. Had a fear for no man, only for his chick, whose name was Marianne. And here's a switcheroo, the Robin Hood's loyal crew. King Richard forgave them all, and here's what they had to do. They became his royal rangers and were very good. So that ends our little tale of Robin Hood. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Butch. Friends, Butch Stone singing Robin Hood. And now, instrumentally, Les Brown and crew, as they are in a sentimental mood. And so, friends, we've reached the halfway point in our dancing party. We'd like to pause now briefly to remind you that it's music by Les Brown and his orchestra coming to you from the Hollywood Palladium, the dining, dancing, and entertainment center of the West. Continuing now with one of my Les Brown favorite arrangements, featuring Ted Nash's tenor saxophone, the voice of Doris Day, "Tain't Me." Thank you. Right now, friends, the madman of the trumpet, Jimmy Zito, snaps out of his lethargy for the moment to bring us I'm Confessin' That I Love You. Much, Jimmy. Jimmy Zito, and I'm confessing that I love you. And now, a song and a man that are synonymous. Butch Stone sings One Meatball.
Of that band of renown, Les Brown and his orchestra, playing from the world-famous Palladium in the heart of Hollywood. Vocalists were Doris Day and Butch Stone. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, www.AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. We put up a new one every month. See you next time.